We've come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 today. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin our studies in verse 30. We're looking at a section where Paul talks about the change that occurs when a person is converted to Christ and the old man is put away. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that the old man is crucified when a person repents and is baptized, and now they have put on the new man. They have a new life in Jesus Christ, and that is the Christian life. The behavior of people in Christ is to be different from people outside of the church. The life that we have now as Christians is to be different from the past life of sin. And so Paul says that there are some specific things then that we're to avoid as Christians. Verse 25, we're not to lie. Verses 26 and 27, we're not to lose our temper. Verse 28, we're not to steal. And verse 29, we're not to use bad language. And that brings us to verse 30. Here Paul said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." He's already talked about this sealing of the Holy Spirit, that is, this marking of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is given to Christians when we're baptized. He talked about that in chapter 1, verse 13. And here he says, "It is by the Holy Spirit that we are sealed unto the day of redemption." The day of redemption being the resurrection day, the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are sealed unto that day. That is, with a view toward that day. We are sealed for that day in a particular way. Here he says that because we have the Holy Spirit as Christians, and because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. How can a person who is a Christian cause grief to the Holy Spirit? Well, it would be by our life. It would be by our behavior. It would be by our actions. It would be by doing the very things that Paul said not to do. It would be because a child of God has lied or has stolen or has used bad language and done the other things, perhaps, that Paul talks about as we go into chapter 5. Those things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so we cause grief to the Holy Spirit in the same way that we would cause grief to Christ or to God the Father. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, the Bible quotes the Old Testament where God said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation." That generation of Jewish people caused grief to God the Father. And in the same way, children of God today can cause grief to the Holy Spirit when they don't live the Christian life as they should. Now, what Paul does in verse 31 and 32 is to talk about the Christian attitude. And he says that there are some things that have no place in our attitude, especially in the way that we look at each other as Christians. Notice verse 31. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." These are important verses here. This teaching is really needed in the body of Christ. Every Christian needs to look at this passage once in a while at least. And the first thing that Paul says that we are to put away from our hearts in verse 31 is bitterness. Back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16 beginning, God said, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Paul says here to put away any bitterness out of your heart. Put away any kind of hatefulness, any kind of resentment, and any kind of grudge holding. Just one hateful person with a bad attitude and with an attitude of bitterness can do a lot of harm in the church. Notice what the Bible says about a bitter attitude in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The writer here says to beware and to be on guard against a bitter spirit, because if that springs up, he says, it will trouble you, but it will also defile many people. It will cause a lot of harm in the body of Christ. So put away any kind of bitterness from your heart. Sometimes life is hard on us. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we are treated unjustly in life. And it can be easy to develop a bitter attitude toward life, toward other people, and toward things that we really don't need to feel that way about. Put away all bitterness. Put away all wrath and anger. Now, we've already seen in verse 26 that we can't say that all anger of any kind is wrong for a Christian to feel, because in verse 26 he said, "Be ye angry and sin not." There is a right kind of anger. There is righteous indignation, and we know that it's right as Christians to be mad or angry about some things. So why does he come back here in verse 31 and say that we're to put away wrath and anger? Well, he's talking about wrath and anger of the wrong kind. He's talking about being angry about the wrong things. He's talking about handling our anger in the wrong way. Put away that kind of feeling from your heart. Then he says to put away clamor. The word clamor means literally an outcry, a clamor, a noisy shouting, or a protesting. Now, a common word that we would use to describe what he calls here clamor would be yelling, hollering. Paul says, put away that kind of behavior from you. That has no place in the life of a child of God. This is something that we're to avoid. We're to control our temper, and we're not to engage in that kind of yelling and screaming at other people. Then he says, put away evil speaking. It's interesting here that the word for evil speaking is the word for blasphemy. Blaspheming someone means to speak evil of that person, whether it's God or someone. And here the Bible says, put that away from you. Don't talk bad about other people. Don't speak evil of other people. You can tell the truth, but we need to do that with wisdom, and we need to be fair and just about it, but don't ever speak evil of people. And then he says to put away all malice from you. The word malice means evil. It means wickedness of any kind. So notice what he's saying here in these verses. Again, fit this into the context or the idea of him explaining the change that takes place when you're converted. When you leave that former lifestyle that you had before you were baptized, you take on a different outlook in life. You take on a different attitude, and you have not only different actions in your life and different behavior, but you have a different mindset. You have a different kind of outlook and attitude in life. Listen to what Paul also said in Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Notice the difference now between the attitude before and after they were baptized. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That was their attitude before they were baptized. Now he says the change that has taken place is in verses 4 and 5. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." That's very similar to what Paul is describing here in Ephesians 4, verse 31. So instead of having these bad attitudes in verse 31, he says in verse 32, on the other hand, and by contrast, we are to be kind one to another. Instead of talking bad about each other, instead of being unkind to each other, instead of having a bitter, complaining, angry spirit toward each other, we're to be kind one to another. Be kind in how you speak to each other. Be kind by helping other people, by thinking of other people, by doing things for other people. The Bible shows that the Christian life is an unselfish life. The life of a lost sinner is a selfish life, but the life of a Christian is unselfish. We don't just think of ourselves, we think of other people, and one of those traits is being kind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that love is kind. And notice that he says in verse 32 that we're to be tender-hearted. We're not to be hard-hearted. We're not to be stubborn. We're not to be calloused. We're not to be cold toward other people. We're to be tender-hearted. We're not to say to people that would correct us and try to give us good advice about our Christian life, "You mind your own business. Who are you to talk to me and tell me that?" We're to be tender-hearted. When it comes to accepting correction, we should be tender-hearted. When it comes to seeing the needs of other people, it should not take much to cause us to feel compassion toward people who need our help. That's being tender-hearted. It's looking at people that are in need and feeling compassion toward them. We need to be tender-hearted, he says, toward each other, and he says, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You could take any one of these words that we've just looked at in verses 31 and 32, and it would be worth it to spend an entire month in any congregation looking at any one of those words to make sure that we're doing what the Bible says in this regard and to make sure that our attitude is right. And that is especially true in this last statement, that we are to forgive one another. And there are many great verses in the Bible that serve as a wonderful commentary on what Paul is talking about in forgiving one another. In Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in his model prayer in Matthew 6 verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he adds in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then in Matthew chapter 18, we have this famous story. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18, the Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.'" Jesus had just talked about going to your brother if your brother has trespassed against you and telling him his fault between you and him alone. And Peter raised that question, and what Jesus is saying is that as long as somebody is penitent, then we should be ready and willing to forgive. In Luke chapter 17, here's what Jesus said. Luke 17, verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent," there's the condition, by the way, "forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to you, saying, 'I repent,' thou shalt forgive him." And then in Colossians chapter 3, we read these words. In Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye."